Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever you may be here this evening, wherever you may be tuning in with us, and I say assalamu alaikum to you also, for those of you who are just coming in. Clarence Shuford, haven't heard from you in a while, my friend. Good to see you online this evening. So we're going to be talking about some pertinent issues as it relates to our health this evening as people are coming on from various parts of the country and also calling in this evening. I did have the opportunity earlier today to address some matters along the lines of health, and I really wanted to continue on this evening because these things were so critical. Some of these things were just so critical in terms of what we're faced with as a public today, living here in America, or irrespective to where you may be in the world. And some people may be calling. It's no telling where they're calling me or tuning in today on Facebook. They can be anywhere in the world. This is the time that we're actually living in. It's a contemporary time, and it requires contemporary thinking. And so I started off asking a question earlier today to the public that was online with me today, some of these things that I think are in the minds of so many Americans today as we consume, as we eat, as we look at the food chain and how it's being managed today, how it's being handled today. And there's just so many things that we have to be concerned about in order for us to be able to keep our health. And this transcends everything. Health transcends everything. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter what political affiliation you may have. Doesn't matter what ethnic group you are a part of. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. Doesn't matter where you come from in the world today. We're all being affected to a great degree by the same things. This is the time of steroids and hormones and fillers and dyes and herbicides and pesticides and industrial waste. And you name it. You know, the food today is being milled, and we're eating fractionated foods. And these are basically leading to many of these complications that so many of us are affected by. It's like every day I hear of someone, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's stroke, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whether it's arthritic conditions. I mean, just within the last half hour, I was talking to someone about these matters. And earlier today, a friend of mine was on his way into surgery dealing with heart problems. So this is more than a notion for all of us. It's certainly something for us to be conscious of and aware of. And I have to tell you this. Welcome, Darlene. I have to tell you this. You know, there are no schools in the world, for the most part, that deal with human health. Most of your schools deal with disease. They deal with addressing disease, not building better health, not building human health. This is a real issue. The time that we're actually living in is a time that, particularly when we start talking about health care, it has been sponsored by big business and people with big money. I mean, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds basically sponsor chemotherapy, radiation, and operations that go along with addressing cancer treatment today. It's big business. It's huge business. Most of these biopsies, whether it's women having them for breast cancer or men having them for prostate cancer, 95% of them are not even necessary. And what's generated annually from just biopsy, $3 billion annually. I said billion, $3 billion annually from biopsies, and basically 95% of them are unnecessary. Now, and I'm not talking to you from the standpoint of, this is Dr. Nuruddin talking to you as a naturopathic doctor. I'm telling you what allopathic medicine is saying. Those that operate, sedate, and medicate. That's what allopathic medicine does. This is what medical doctors, they go to school for. They go to school to operate, sedate, and medicate. They don't go to school to teach you how to build better health. They have a regulatory board, and that board functions a certain way. And when doctors are not in compliance with that regulatory board, they can be blackballed. This is true. I've literally had doctors actually tell me of conferences that they've been to where doctors have literally been blackballed for dispensing vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And many of those that are gone that they would classify as being renegade today that have huge mailing lists, medical doctors, but are involved in integrative medicine, you know, they just broke off and said, enough of this. The doctor that wrote the foreword to my last book that was published this year, a medical doctor, literally came out and said, look, it is time for change, because they're watching what's being dispensed. Pharmaceuticals and drugs, most of the public today, or a great many amongst the public today, have become very, very disenchanted with pharmaceuticals and drugs. And any of us, which most of us are, literally watching TV every day, you know, they can't make these drugs available anymore without telling you what the side effects are. And when we hear the side effects and see what the side effects are on these drugs and these medications, welcome, Yaka. When we see these drugs and these medications and what the side effects are, I mean, it really disturbs us. You have to question, if you're paying attention, how could anyone, knowing what the side effect is, literally take that drug? It boggles the mind. It does mine. It boggles my mind. Maybe it doesn't yours. I don't know. But I think I'm just about like most people. You know, I pay close enough attention to what's going on, particularly relevant to my health and what could be a factor that I could consume as to what the outcome would be as a result of me taking that into my body. So I just question at times, how can we take these things into our body knowing what those side effects are? It's very, very disturbing. So let's get started here. Again, I want to welcome those of you who are on Facebook, those of you who are online with me tonight. I really want to talk to you. I want to ask you a question here. I want to start off tonight asking you a question and take you through some scenarios that people are faced with pretty much every day living in America. So what's the question? The question is, I'm basically healthy. So why do I have the feeling that something just isn't quite right? Let me ask the question again. I'm going to say it again. I'm basically healthy. So why do I have the feeling that something just isn't quite right? You know something's wrong with you, but you don't know exactly what it is. Your energy isn't where it should be. You don't have that vitality anymore. Digestion, some of those foods that you used to be able to eat before, you can't eat them now. They don't digest the way. Things seem to sit in the stomach. They don't break down. Constipation becomes a problem for many of us. Diarrhea is a problem for many of us. We're suffering from aches and pains. We don't sleep well at night. These are prevalent concerns amongst the public today. And people are looking for answers. And too often, they don't get them when they go see their primary care doctors. In most cases, when a person visits their doctor with complaints and ailments and haven't developed any form of degenerate disease, the patient is as much a frustration to the doctor as the doctor is to the patient. Patient don't know what's going on, but they know something's wrong. Doctor don't know what's going on. I just had this conversation with someone close to me today. And it's not going away. This is not going away. Many patients are told that the problem is in their heads and they should see a professional counselor. So what if this is a medical doctor telling you that you need to go see a psychiatrist? A psychiatrist, someone, because they're saying basically your problem is coming from what's going on in your head. Well, they could send you to a psychologist or they could send you to a physiologist. Physiologist is going to say, well, maybe not necessarily going on in your head. Are there any tumors? Is there any bleeding taking place internally? So these are two different professions, two different professionals, two different modalities as to how to look at health. One will say, well, it's mental first. And the other will say, well, it's physical first. And either of them can be correct. One can be a primary and the other can be secondary. But we do know, because see, we're holistic. I'm a holistic doctor. I'm a naturopath. So naturopaths, we look at the holistic life of the person, every aspect of it. What could in fact be contributing to this disorder that a person has? Could it be spiritual? Could it be mental? Could it be physical? Could it be all of these? And sometimes it is all of those. So many patients are told that the problem is in their heads. But we know that you're having physical symptoms. You're feeling pain in your body. So you can tell me that it's in my head. A woman goes to the doctor and she's having migraine headaches or whatever, or having some menstrual problems and these type of things. Sometimes it's not a fibroid tumor that can be seen or that's evident. Sometimes it's not endometriosis where the bleeding is actually taking place, but the symptoms or the pain are still there. Yes, this is factual. So what's going on all the time? Men, most of you men out there that's listening to me tonight, most all of you are going to have problems with your prostate as you age, because the prostate is going to grow a second time. Most all of you who are listening to me tonight, I'm not trying to give you a morbid message. I'm just being honest with you. Most of you listening to me tonight and watching me tonight, you have cancer cells either in your prostate or either in your breast. The question is, are they latent or are they aggressive? And most times we don't ask that question when we go into the doctor's office. Because all of us have cancer cells in our bodies. The question is, are they aggressive? Well, what stops them from being aggressive? It's your immune response. For the most part, if the immune response is where it needs to be, it stops the proliferation and the division of the cancer cell. But when the body gets out of balance, then evolution that can lead to the expression of cancer or fungus in the system becomes very, very real. And that's really what cancer is. It is a fungus. So let's keep moving here and talk a bit more about this. The truth is that there is a problem, and the problem is termed clinically insignificant. Well, why do they say it's clinically insignificant? Because they don't know the answer to it, and they can't diagnose it. Clinically insignificant. I'm tired. I'm listless. I don't have any energy and vitality at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. After I eat, I'm ready to go to sleep. Most people today go to sleep food drunk. Don't think the only way for you to get drunk is just drinking alcohol or using drugs. Food will make you drunk also. And unfortunately, because of the lifestyle today and we eating so late in the evening, most of us go to sleep drunk with food. The stomach is full of food. Do you know your stomach is supposed to rest when you rest? Your biggest meal should be in the morning. That's when the biggest meal should be. A smaller meal at noontime and the lightest meal in the evening. So when you lay down to go to sleep, your stomach shouldn't be full of food. Look, I've been there. I understand. I know I suffered the very same things that many of you are suffering today are in the past. My life, the early part of my life, there was nothing there in the early part of my life that would suggest that I'd be doing what I'm doing today in terms of helping people with their health, talking to people about their health here in the United States, in the Caribbean, in Canada, and other places around the globe. There was nothing there. So if I've experienced the very, very same things that most people have experienced, I've had all the problems. Just haven't had any serious operations. Never had serious disease. Because for the last 40 years of my life, I've been into this profession. So I've always taken vitamins and minerals. I've always been conscious of the water that I was drinking. I've always had digestive enzymes for the most part with my meals. And I've always put friendly flora back into the system, and I've always tried to clean and detox the liver and the gallbladder. These are things that were a prevalent part of my life the last 40 years, and they've made a tremendous difference. But prior to that point, I suffered just like everybody else. I suffered just like everybody. I can recall working for the state of New York in childcare from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning, and my diet, for the most part, going to work was cream pies, potato chips, and squirt soda pretty much every night. I was lucky. I was fortunate. I met a man and his wife. I met Bill Horace and Millie Horace. And they propositioned Connie and I, my wife and I, to become practitioners. And when I met him, I was borderline diabetic. He looked at me. He said, look, you look like you're healthy. Are you interested in learning something about health? And I said, well, yeah. And he did an iridological analysis on me. He said, you're borderline diabetic. Well, based on what the diet was that I had, I could understand exactly where he was coming from. So I know what the issues are. I know what it is to be healthy. I know what it is to be sick. And believe me, I take health any day of the week. And it's all about building better health. Now, we all have a choice. You got the choice to build better health or either fight disease. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, fighting disease is a losing battle. It's a losing battle. You got to get on the right side of the equation where you're building better health. You're putting nutrients into your system every day. You're cleansing your body periodically. You're making sure that you're getting clean and a clean and an alkaline water every day. You have to exercise this body. You have to make sure that all of the tracts of elimination are kept open if you're going to have good health, if you want good health. So the truth is that there is a problem, and the problem is termed clinically insignificant when they don't have an answer. This means there isn't a diagnosable condition, but the patient truly isn't well. The patient knows they're not well. The doctor knows they're not well. Let me tell you something. A tired body is a sick body. Now, it may not be sick enough to be in the hospital. Listen to what I'm telling you. It may not be sick enough to be in the hospital, but a tired body is a sick body. And I can, for most of you, the foods that you consume, they're carrying so many acids, and those acids, they're fatigue acids. They're acids of fatigue. They rob you of your vitality. They rob you of your energy. So most of you, and many of you, by the time you get up in the morning and you're halfway through the day and you start off with sugar and you start off with starch, you start off with wheat, you start off with those things, by the time you get to noontime or you're getting mid-afternoon, you're dragging bottom. You're dragging bottom. Your sugar is totally out of balance. I've been there. I've been hypoglycemic. I've never been a diabetic. I was borderline, but I know what the other side of it is. When there's not enough glucose in the bloodstream in order for you to stay balanced, where you get that shaking and that trembling and that fatigue and that tiredness, and you're just ready to go somewhere and sit down and go to sleep. In fact, you can become so tired, so fatigued, that you'll go somewhere and hide to try to get you some rest. So I know what it's like. These patterns are real and they're uncomfortable. They're real and they're uncomfortable. Things are actually getting pretty serious in the body by the time a person realizes that something just isn't quite right. The seriousness is really starting to set in. But what do you do? And they tell you, or the doctor tells you, that this is just undiagnosable. We don't know what your problem is. It must be psychological. And in most cases, you know where it's at? It's really in the diet. If the diet changes, then the diagnosis can change if you get diagnosed. But without a change, particularly in diet in terms of consumption, then you're going to continue to have these problems. Let's read on. Let's keep going. So things are actually getting pretty serious in the body by the time a person realizes that something just isn't quite right. This is because almost everyone takes how they feel as their personal standard for what is normal. So what am I saying to you here? I'm saying we can live for decades not feeling good, and that becomes the normal state of our health. It's the normal state of our health. And as long as it stays there, we see ourselves as normal, even though we're not feeling good. And we can stay there for decades with these problems. Some of you haven't felt good in a very, very long time. You haven't felt good in a long time. You don't know what feeling good is now. Because the state that you are carrying most times is the state of fatigue, the state of lethargicness. Your sleep patterns are bad. Night sweats and mood swings are what's going on. And unfortunately, too many of you now are diabetics and you suffer from hypertension and you're overweight. And that being overweight carries its complications. And I'm going to tell you, the reason why you're overweight is because you're toxic. You have to detox the system. If you start detoxing the system, you're going to automatically start losing weight. Because this is how it happens. The body and the liver, really, the liver manages everything that comes into the system. This is why cleaning the liver and cleaning the gallbladder are critical to you having good health. So the liver, anything that comes into the system, it's going to the liver first. It's going to go to the liver. Not a question. The liver is going to take it, and most every food that you eat has glucose in it. Whether it's a protein, whether it's an oil, whether it's a fiber, or whether it's a carbohydrate, it's got glucose in it. So the liver takes and sends the glucose to the cell. When the glucose gets to the cell has to produce adrenaline and it has to have sodium in order for that sugar or that glucose to be escorted into the cell. Well, if you keep eating a lot of these foods, particularly your simple carbohydrates, what do I mean simple carbohydrates? I mean your cereal, I mean your biscuits, I mean your cakes, I mean your pies, I mean your pasta, I mean your pizza, I mean your rice, I mean your potatoes, and particularly your sugars, your donuts and your crackers. If you're eating a lot of those things, you're bringing a lot of glucose into the system, and the cell is always secreting insulin. Well, we do this year after year, decade after decade, score after score, and after a while, the cell just says, listen, I can't tolerate this anymore. So ultimately what happens is the pancreas gets weak because the pancreas is literally what has to secrete the insulin so that the sugar can be escorted into the tissue or into the cell. So after the cell can't tolerate anymore, then the liver says, okay, we're going to have to store some of this glucose somewhere. So I'm going to keep some of it, and then the rest of it I'm going to store in the muscle as glycogen. So glycogen is this immediate little substance of energy. Let's just call it that. But it is a form of glucose, sugar, but it's stored in the muscle. But it can only be used for the muscle. Now, the glycogen that's stored in the liver can be used anywhere in the body to give energy when the body needs it. But the person doesn't stop. The person keeps taking in these simple carbohydrates. The body is still secreting as much insulin as it can. After the pancreas gets burned out, now all of this sugar or glucose is staying in the bloodstream. Now the person becomes a diabetic. This is how diabetes comes about. So now the pancreas is weak. But look at what the body has to do. So the liver is still saying, okay, I've got to do something with this. So what are we going to do? So now, since the muscles can't take anymore, then what the liver does is stores the rest of it into the fat cells. Now, your regular cells, they have to have insulin and sodium in order to escort glucose into the tissue. But your fat cells, they don't have to have it. The fat cells, it doesn't have any, have to have a receptor to receive all of this sugar. This is why so many people are overweight. But look at what happens. The sugar is now becoming damaging to the arteries and the veins, to the tissue in the body. It's literally turning into a saturated fat. This is what happens with the sugar. Sugar and starch turns into a saturated fat. And that saturated fat starts to line the arteries and the veins, gets into the heart, gets into the liver, gets into the kidneys, gets into all of this tissue, and starts breaking it down. Well, as this is taking place, the liver has to do something, so it starts secreting low-density lipid proteins, or what they call LDL. So as it secretes this LDL, which is designed to chelate with much of this acid that's in the system now that's building up, as well as repair and rebuild the tissue in the body, the arterial structure in the body, the cholesterol starting to build up. So as the LDL is building up, trying to patch up the problem, the liver now starts to secrete HDL, or what they call a good cholesterol, the high-density lipid proteins. Well, what are the high-density lipid proteins designed to do? They're designed to escort the low-density lipid proteins out of the system after the repair has taken place. But the person keeps eating all of these simple carbohydrates. So the damage keeps going on. The liver keeps secreting low-density lipid proteins, high-density lipid proteins. So now when the person goes to the doctor says, your cholesterol is high. Well, your cholesterol should be high because the cholesterol is really trying to patch up the problem. The low-density lipid protein is trying to patch up the problem. High-density lipid proteins are trying to escort the low-density lipid proteins out of the system. And so the doctor says, well, we need to put you on a statin drug. So they give you Lipitor or Coumadin or something. And that pathway that the Lipitor or the statin drug is designed to shut down in terms of the production of cholesterol, that same pathway produces CoQ10. And CoQ10 is designed to support your heart. So ultimately in time, what happens to the person is they end up with heart problems, maybe a heart attack, maybe a stroke, maybe an aneurysm. But long story short, if it's a heart attack, when they go in there and they see that cholesterol, they blame the cholesterol for the problem, when the problem really is the statin drug that shut down the pathway for the CoQ10. This is going on every day in America today, with all people, based on the American diet. Too heavy in simple carbohydrates. Let's move on. So you know something just isn't right. So when our health drops below our perceived normal level, of course, this is a cause for concern. So once it drops below normal, now you're not, it's just normal for you, but it's not the place of health. It's not a healthy situation, it's just a normal situation. But once the level drops below that, then your antennas go up. When you go back, because that's what happens. Now, I just showed you how the diabetic condition develops. I can take you through a whole lot of many more, how cancer develops. how all these other autoimmune disorders develop. It's basically the same process, maybe just a little different because of the proliferation and the evolution of certain microbiotic organisms in the system, or the body just not having enough friendly bacteria, or you're not getting enough water, or you're not getting enough exercise, or you're not getting enough rest, or you're having too much stress. But all of it's going to lead to too much acid in the system. So when your body drops below that feeling of normalcy, oh, we got a problem then. Now you're starting to really realize something has happened, and in many cases, they can diagnose you at that point. However, what is alarming is to discover that what most people refer to as being basically healthy is in actuality far from healthy. And you can say to people, say, well, how are you doing today? Well, I'm doing fine. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling great. This is the normal state. Although a person knows they're not feeling great, they're not feeling good, but they've just got so accustomed to being in that state that it's just a natural response. This has to change. Years of meticulous research has revealed the following cold, hard facts about what is taking place in normal, healthy bodies. These are some things that we say that are going on in normal, healthy bodies today. Number one. The colon has at least one stricture, causing a recycling of toxic waste into the lymphatic and circulatory systems. That's your colon. You know, people are into colon therapy. Long before they were doing this stuff at the level that they were doing it, I was suggesting this to our public. Dr. Bernard Jensen, Dr. Bill Horace, Dr. Victor Irons, they were pioneers in this 40 years ago, before this really became popular, where people are doing it today, where you literally can go to places and they got tables literally set up. All you got to do is get up on the table and go through the process. Or either you got a colon therapy. Mildred Horace was doing this. Millie was doing this 30, 40 years ago, long before it became popular. But this is where most people are that classify themselves as healthy. So what's happening with that? Whether it's a stricture or whether it's ballooning, there's so many different things that can be going on with the colon that's causing a recycling of toxic waste into the lymphatic and circulatory system. Number two, the intestinal flora is imbalanced from exposure to chlorinated water and antibiotics, causing the production of additional toxins that poison the lymph and blood. I asked someone today, how many rounds of antibiotics have you had? Do you know every round of antibiotics that you've had, it has destroyed your friendly black bacteria, your friendly flora? You know that friendly flora, friendly bacteria is necessary in order for your immune system to be healthy? In order for your body to produce antibodies designed to keep infections away from you. But if it proliferates or it gets out of balance, then you start developing yeast infections, fungal infections, viral infections. Antibiotics will kill off that friendly flora and leave you vulnerable. This is a fact. And most of us, or most of you, let me say that, that have had these antibiotics, these rounds of antibiotics, have done nothing to restore the antibiotics. Restore the friendly flora. And you need to put friendly flora back into the system. Acidophilus, Bifilus, L. salivaris. These are friendly strands of bacteria We have to have bacteria. Bacteria is our friend. If you don't have bacteria, then you will literally have carcasses laying all over the globe. Bacteria is the cleanup crew. When it's in balance. But once it gets out of balance, then it can evolve into a yeast and a fungal form. And from yeast and fungal to mold. Yes. This is a cycle. This is called the carbon cycle. When it gets to mold and it's dead, there's still life in it. I don't have time to go through that today. Number three, the colon has a thick, black, rubbery mucus lining developed to protect the lymph and blood from the contents of the colon. Well, why is this there? Look, the body is storing it there. It's storing it on the wall of the colon to stop you from smothering in your own waste. This is the brilliance of the wisdom that's innate in this magnificent body. This thing is supposed to work like clockwork. That, you know, the name for dust, that same name for dust in Arabic, turab, that same word means like clockwork. Same word. Because that dust that Adam is created from should work like clockwork. That's part of this subject, but I ain't got time to go into that tonight. Next thing, a condition of scurvy is well established. We don't get enough vitamin C, we don't get enough vitamin E, we don't get enough vitamin B. We don't get enough vitamins and minerals. We don't get enough amino acids. We don't get enough fiber. Many of you heard of Dr. Atkins, Robert Atkins, and the Atkins diet and the success that Atkins had with the diet. And I believe in his science. And basically what Atkins said was, the problem are the carbohydrates. You can live without sugar. This is what Atkins said. Well, what was his science? What was his philosophy? His philosophy was, what you need are fiber, oil, and protein. Fiber, oil, and protein. Atkins was a diabetic. Atkins was overweight himself. Atkins had hypertension. And so he looked at the diet and asked the question, why? Why do I have this problem? What's in my diet that's causing this problem? So he looked at the carbohydrates. The recommended daily allowance for carbohydrates was 300 grams a day. Recommended daily allowance by the government. Atkins said that's too much. So he reduced it down to 20 grams a day. And once he reduced it to 20 grams, he started losing weight. The blood pressure came in line. The sugar became balanced. He started putting all his clients on it. Now, he and protein kept the meat in there. And that's where I differ today with him relevant to the meat. And I differ with him because of how they handle the meat today. All of the steroids, all of the hormones that they're literally firing into the meat. When you eat the meat, you're getting all of these hormones and these steroids. These things are just designed to fatten the animal up to get them to market quicker. But he put his clients on him, and because they took those carbohydrates out, those simple carbohydrates out, they started losing weight. The acid alkaline level started to become some balance, because still, if you're eating that meat, the acid is going to be a problem, because meat is going to create acid. So those foods that I mentioned earlier, those simple carbohydrates that I mentioned earlier, then you got to think about your meat. Then you got to think, when I say meat, I'm talking about beef. Those of you, we've got Christians here on the line. Many of them eat pork. Then you got those that eat lamb. Then you got the chicken, and then you got the turkey. Our bodies don't do well with meat. That I can say. You say, well, are you a diabetic? I eat fish. Or a diabetic. I mean, are you a vegetarian? I eat fish. And I'm becoming even more conscious of how much of that I eat, because I'm more knowledgeable now about the whole process of digestion and how it takes place and what's necessary for it to take place. And our bodies don't do too well with meat. This is a fact. So I won't tell you that all of us need to be vegetarians. I wouldn't say that. But I do caution you on the consumption of meats. Particularly you men out there that's got prostate problems, I caution you about eating steaks, you know, and meat like that, because it's just going to cause you a problem for your prostate as you age. So you got to be mindful of that. All right, let's keep going here. So the bloodstream, next. The bloodstream is loaded with fungus, chemicals. These are people who we say are healthy today, basically healthy. The bloodstream is loaded with fungus, chemicals, metals, and unusable food waste. Where is this stuff coming in from? It's coming in from stuff that you use on your skin, stuff that you use on your hair, stuff that you're smelling when you go to the gas pumps, clothes that you're wearing. You got to be mindful of even the clothes that you wear as to what is coming into the body from the clothes that you're wearing. Certain clothes really shouldn't be worn. They shouldn't be, because they can cause problems with your health. Unusable food waste. Most of us don't take digestive enzymes with our meals. You should. All of you need to go to my website. You do. DrNuridin.com. That's DrNuridin.com. There are things there for you. You should subscribe to my book there. I'll send you something free that you can read up on that'll help you with your health. It doesn't cost you anything for you to subscribe. And it'll keep you up with where we're going. Time is running on me. I'm going to be doing a health workshop in Greensboro, North Carolina, February 8th, 9th, and 10th. You'll be able to go to the website and get all of that information in the next couple of days, where we're going to be, hotels and everything that we're going to be using, with the reduced rates and those kind of things, what it will cost you for the workshop for that weekend. We'll start on Friday evening and come back and be there all day Saturday, and then we'll finish up Sunday around 12 noon. But it's going to be a great weekend. For those of you who may have an interest in being students, for those of you who've got some health challenges that you want to get over, and some of these things, you've had these problems for so long and still haven't been able to get over them. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've given you. I don't care what you've taken, what you've done. You haven't been able to crack the code. And then for those of you who may be healthy, but you want to build better health, this is the workshop for you. the type of workshop for you. And these type of things that I'm talking to you about tonight, in addition to some that I won't get a chance to talk to you tonight, are things that we're going to be addressing. The gallbladder is stretched and overloaded with cholesterol balls. It is commonly found to be 2 or 3 times its normal size, causing chronic liver congestion. And that's where the problem is added in the liver. Do you know that if a person kept their liver clean, it would be almost impossible for them to get cancer? Some of these other problems, that digestive problems, if they just kept the liver flushed and cleaned and the gallbladder flushed so that the liver wouldn't become overwhelmed. This is true. And they'll take your gallbladder, you know, they'll take your gallbladder quick. Now, they can't take the liver that fast because they'd have to put a new one in there. They'd have to transplant a new one. But the gallbladder, they know you can live without that. Like you can live without your tonsils. Like you can live without your spleen. Like you can live without your appendix. That's all lymphatic tissue. That's all immune system tissue. And all of these, all of that tissue is in your body for a reason, even though you can live without it. They call these the silent organs. But you're supposed to have them. They took my tonsils when I was 12. Why? Because I was getting infections. The diet that I had at that time, I didn't know. And my mother didn't know any better. So they said, well, he's got tonsillitis. We need to take the tonsils. So she said, well, okay, go ahead on. Same thing has happened with many of you, with your gallbladder, many of you with your appendix, many of you with your spleen. The upper cervical vertebrae are misaligned, or the skull is pivoted on the spine, or both. A pivoted skull and vertebrae misalignment. Most of you probably need to see a chiropractor. There's no question. Most everybody I see in my office today, and I do a meridian scan on that person, and that scan shows us what's actually going on with their spine. Most of them are out of alignment. Most everybody I see. And most of them, when I ask them when was the last time they have visited or seen a chiropractor, in most cases they say never. This is factual. There are 8 round muscles located in the back of the neck, down the center of the back, and at the lumbar level of the spine that are at least in a mild spasm, contracting the spine and causing nerve flow restrictions to the associated organs. Do you know every organ in your body is attached to your spine? Every organ is attached either to the cervical area, the thoracic area, the lumbar area, or the sacral area. Every organ in your body. So you can't just live, walk around, homo erectus, gravity is pulling you to the earth, and you don't get your spine aligned. All of us need to be doing exercises that will help to align our spine regularly. These are things that you just can't take and throw in the trash can. The body is recycling fatigued acids and other toxic waste from the colon into the bloodstream, our fueling system, causing the person to feel at least 50% fatigued to death. Some of us are so tired all day. You go to bed tired, you wake up tired. I just got to give you the truth. And I know this is staggering for some of you. But you know it's the truth, too. And you know that there's something wrong with you, although you don't know exactly what it is. You know that you want more vitality. You know that you want more energy. You would like to be able to sleep better at night. You don't want to have to be popping pills to deal with pain. But you're going through this. And you like the foods that you're eating. You like those foods. I know you're not going to take all of those carbohydrates out. You're not going to drop from those 300 grams a day down to 20. Most of you are not. If we could just get you down to 150, life would start changing for you. Y'all don't know. I'm telling you. There's also diminished function of overstressed adrenal glands, stress-induced slow metabolism, and finally the reduced efficiency of the several energy production systems due to stress-induced mineral imbalances at the tissue level, as well as a deficiency of certain essential nutrients. Most of you, what do you take? Most of you not taking vitamin and minerals. Do you know you can't get calcium into the cell unless you have vitamin D? Why do you think so many people suffer from osteoporosis? Because we're vitamin D deficient in this part of the world, and even in many other places around the globe where they have more sunshine than we do. You can't get water into the tissue unless you have magnesium in the system. This is a fact. Just like you can't get glucose into the tissue unless you have insulin. You have to have sodium also. Here's some basic things that you got to have. I'll leave you with some things as we close out here tonight. If you want to get your health together, first of all, you got to stop the consumption of what has caused the problem that you have. That's the first thing. Next, you got to remove from the body what's contributing to it. Then the third thing is you have to replenish the body of the nutrients that have been lost. Now, I'm going to give you four other things that you need to be mindful of in terms of consumption every day. You need chlorophyll every day. You need oil every day. When I say oil, I mean omega-3, omega-6, omega-9 oil, flax oil, sunflower oil, olive oil, hemp oil, chia oil. You need those oils every day. Water. You've got to have water every day, and you need sodium. You got to have those four things if you're going to keep your health. And then you follow those other routines that I shared with you. So these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about the 8th, 9th, and 10th of February here in Greensboro again. You'll be able to go to Dr. Nuruddin, that's DrNuriddin.com, probably within the next 48 hours, and you'll have information there on where all the particulars of what you need to do in order really to build better health in your body. So if you're looking, some of you may be looking for a new career. Some of you just may want to regain your health. Or if you already got it and you want to build better health, that's a great place to be. It's been good talking to you all tonight. I've run out of time here. I'm going to look forward to talking to you all again the next time. Perhaps we will be back here with you. Yes. I know you're trying to reach me. We'll be back here with you next week, God willing, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You all have a healthy and pleasant evening. As always, it's been a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you all again. And next time, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.